Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-host Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly can be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Bob. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing very good, Bill. What a pleasant pre-show we had, audience. We had on Brother Scott Sapanik, and it was just a joyful experience to speak with someone that is following the Lamb wherever he goeth. He spread his light on us, I should say.
Absolutely.
Brother Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here too, guys. And yeah, I sure agree, Bob. Having Scott with us tonight was a real, real breath of fresh air. He's a fellow, a fellow watchman in this battle. And I've learned so much from him.
Me too. This was the first website that I ever found. I guess it was about 3 years ago.
Wow.
I kept looking to find somebody that had the truth. I didn't know much back then, but I couldn't, even what a little bit I knew, you know, I learned a little from James Lloyd, but I go, there's got to be somebody on the internet that has it right. And I just kept going through site after site. I finally wound up on his site.
Wow. Yeah, I'm really grateful.
The Lord led me there,
Bob.
Excuse me, Chris?
I'm grateful that you put that together tonight.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we never know what's going to be next. With I just appreciate you bringing these people along to share with us. That this is always a blessing.
In the audience, what Scott wanted to convey, and what was on his heart is to appeal people. More people need to listen to the truth of the gospel, and he's wanted to convey that during this time right now, don't wait for the other shoe to drop as far as current events and worldly events. And pray, audience, for more workers to do the will of the Lord in the wilderness.
Amen.
Brother Bill?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable having him on there. He's the old warrior, is how I refer to him. He's been there since as long as I've been around. He's one of the first guys I learned from. And I think he's an ex-Marine.
He is an ex-Marine, isn't he? Yeah.
Trying to, I guess, help boil the gospel down to put it on a level of simplicity that we can teach it out there to other people.
Yeah. In audience, his writings, which are very edifying, can be found at www.therapturecult.com. And don't let the name deceive you. This is a remnant blog, and Scott is in the truth, and he conveys many, many good teachings in terms of his very simple site. I recall, Bill, it was you who referred me to that site.
And I think so, yeah.
And I was so hungry for the truth, I read the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got quite a number of articles on there. They're all excellent, too. Very edifying.
All excellent. Brother Chris, anything else about Brother Scott's pre-show?
Oh, no, you know, that was what I gleaned from his heart. You know, I share it. I share his heart for taking all this knowledge, this amazing knowledge the Lord is revealing to us. You know, it's just sometimes my head spins. But I'm still, you know, I have the mind of just taking the truth and just, you know, condensing it into a message that the people can hear and keep putting it out there, you know, week after week. That's what's on my heart. So that, you know, I'm just seeking the Lord all the time about what is our message, Lord? What is it you want us to convey? And, you know, so I shared his vision for that because, you know, this is the time now. It's everything this is what's so amazing to me of where we are. I just have such an acute awareness of where we are in time, that, you know, this new world order. Is it? I mean, this is the big deal. This is, and it's all, you know, right here, in you know, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 17, the focus of our study. I mean, this is happening in real time. I had a post on a forum this week, or it was actually, I guess it was last week, and the guy said it was under current events. I was posting something about Glenn Beck and John Hagee, you know, joining forces as we're seeing. You know, as we shared last week, the Dominionists and the Zionists are you know, joining together. And we see this as a huge manifestation of, you know, them that dwell on the earth worshiping the beast. You know, with the power that they're going to need to do what God has preordained. And, you know, this is what we see. But, you know, I, the guy said... it was a Glenn Beck column under current events. And he said, shouldn't this be under prophecy? And I said, yeah, you know, that's a dilemma. Because prophecy and current events are the same thing now. And it's really is astonishing that as this prophetic scripture is becoming real, you know, manifesting right in front of our eyes. And it's just so over the top so few realize. It's still, you know, through the brainwashing of the harlot system, has got these prophetic events off in the future somewhere where people don't realize they're all right here, right now. It's all happening, you know, right in front of our eyes. And so this is the, you know, the urgency that I feel is just to get this information out in a condensed form to people and realize the grave peril that they're in. You know, we're talking tonight, you know, Bill, with the 2 Timothy chapter 3 study. You know, we'll be taking a look at that later on tonight, folks. It's awesome. But, you know, it starts out, perilous times will come. And the Lord just spoke to me volumes about that this week. I actually taught that to my kids this week. I had a nice little Bible study with my girls, and I just was so blessed by it. I had their attention for 25 consecutive minutes, and I was very grateful for that, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact that the perilous times are here because of the way people are behaving, you know, they're
right. This is like you said, this is the baby boomer.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and read those verses, Bob, since we're already on it?
Absolutely. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Yeah, if that's not the baby boomer last generations, I don't know. You're never going to see it if that's not it.
No.
And it also says in that first verse there, this know also that in the last days, so that's pretty big, in the last days. I mean, obviously that can be the last 2,000 years too, but you know, in the perspective we're at now, I don't, like, it's the total collapse of the family, you know, and Karl Marx, understood what happens to totally collapsing the family.
Planned.
Yeah, yeah. They understood it very well.
Attack the father. That's what they did.
And I was going to point out in that verse, you know, these numbers that I've been studying lately, and I put out a little show this week, this past week, and I think it's already out, about just the numbers in the Bible and what the Lord's been showing me. Never really looked into this, you know, over time, it's just been a gradual sort of thing. I never really just stopped and did it. You know, I started learning about the number two. I learned that from James Lloyd with the two factions all through Scripture, and I got that embedded. And, you know, I learned the oneness of God, which is so important. And then I started, you know, with the triune matrix and understanding three. And then I just kind of started, you know, going to four and then going to five. And then we all pretty much understand six is the number of man. Seven is the number of God's holiness. Eight is the number of falling away. And I just started seeing so much of this in scriptures, in the these identities and the verses themselves, sometimes written as a chapter. But just in this second verse here, there's eight things in that verse. Lovers of our own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. There's eight right there. And that's just falling away. That's the signature in that verse right there, of society falling away. And then, yeah. And then the very next verse, there's six. That's the number of man. True speakers, false accusers, incontentness, fierce despisers of those that are good. and affliction, I forgot. I left affliction out. Natural affliction. Then the next verse after that is the what you're going to get now is tribulation. That's why it says traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure. There's four. That's what's in that verse, is four. And that's the number of tribulation. It's the number of judgment.
Oh, man.
And then what's amazing, the number, you know, this is verse five. Grace is the number five. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So in his grace, you can see two parts cut off there. You're going to see having a form of godliness is cut off, but denying the power thereof is cut off. And what you have is the third part led through the fire is from such turn away. You know, there's three parts right in that verse. And that's how that's who he gives grace to. He gives the grace to those that turn away from the Babylon church, which is a lot to do with that Babylon church of what we're going to be studying in Revelation 13. It's just amazing, these numbers. I'm starting to see it everywhere. I found it today. I think I sent you guys. It was amazing. It was when he brought the kingdom of Jerusalem down. It's the exact same thing. You know, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8, and I don't want to go into all of that, but, you know, in verse 8, they list exactly eight things in verse eight. That means, you know, they try to start a new beginning and there's no more new beginnings after that. Oh. They're sent to the brimstone and with the second death. And that's the last number eight in the Bible.
And audience, this study. Bill, did you finish? You want to go on?
Yeah, I'm finished.
I encourage you all, audience, the breakout studies that are coming out are a long term in terms of in-depth study on such things as the numbers that come on our heart to do, and they're broken down scripturally. And we're admonished to understand this gospel. And we seek the kingdom of God in the flesh. We have to have a balance of looking at current events, and then all of a sudden, for the past year, we've had prophecy live, and we basically haven't had any time to reflect on the events of the past year. because gentlemen, would you agree? It's been scriptural, these events.
Oh, absolutely, oh, yeah. We're in real time. You said so many times, we're in real time now.
This is real time, and what we're trying to convey to you, audience, is to understand who the blind are. And when you come out of the churches and come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's where we're pointing you. And these scriptures are revealing everybody's position in real time. And in Exodus 4:11 we find, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? So on the current level, audience, it's the Lord who makes people blind to the truth of gospel. They are in the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. They are in dispensation, Mormonism, whatever the case may be of the 17,000 denominations. It's of the Lord that they're in their position. In Leviticus 19:14, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear thy God. I am the Lord. And Bill, that's the fear of the Lord is wisdom.
Yes, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the devil is the beginning of stupidity.
Oh, yeah.
And when we look, audience, to try and convey, because there's been a lot of discouragement because not a lot of people are coming to the truth. And they're still reading a different gospel than it was preached by our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to convey to you that Psalms 146:8 expressly conveys the situation now. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. And audience, it's if it be the Lord's will, these people will wake up. And it's the Lord who will have this gospel preached to them. In Isaiah 35:3, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Audience, that is you that God will save. Seek ye him, our Lord Jesus Christ, first, and know this gospel, and know the mystery of this gospel, because it be the Lord's will. Brother Chris?
Boy, I agree. You know, that is the thing that's under the attack, is the gospel message itself. Because the gospel message that's getting, conveyed out of these corporate churches is not the gospel. You know, it's a counterfeit message that, fails to acknowledge. We've been called to lay down our lives. And, that's the thing that is missing, because the churches are focused on man and what Jesus can do for you. And, come on in, and Jesus has got a magnificent plan for your life, and hopefully it should line up with the plan that you have for your life, and if not, we'll work it out.
So we'll make some adjustments.
Yeah. But this is the antithesis of what the gospel message was. Jesus spoke didactically, he spoke the truth, and, you followed or you left, and that's the way it was, and that's the way it is. That's the way it still is. That's the way the gospel is preached. And, you respond to it by having that, how does the Lord decide who, he knows our hearts. And truth is either repels you or draws you, one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no multiple truths. Truth is always singular in the scripture. It's always truth. There's no S on the end. And, that's it. There's one truth, and finding it and you know, laying your life down to fit the truth is what it's what we're called to do. You know, and whatever blessings the Lord gives us, He gives us. You know, we have peace that surpasses understanding, but it's all internal, it's all spiritual, and it's all based on our relationship with Him, not based on things He gives us and stuff, and which is what, you know, is the gauge of success today in the churches by, you know, how they're increasing goods and in need of nothing. But I'm afraid that that's all going to be under scrutiny. It already is, you know, because the structures are crumbling. And God is, you know, passing His judgment. And this is what we're calling you to do, is to prepare for judgment. To stand, to be able to stand before the Lord. You know, knowing that you're in Him, that you're abiding in Him. Because, you know, when we are abiding in Him, we've passed from judgment into light.
Brother Bill.
Oh, man. Right, they're all looking for a flesh solution to everything today. That's the peace and safety, virtual reality of escape. That's what the strong delusion, actually what it brings is deafness and blindness. And then you were talking about the doctrine there, Chris, and we go to 2 Peter a lot where it says, in the last days shall come scoffers. And but in one of those verses, in there, verse 3, he says he has a very profound message there. And through covetousness, shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. That's the serpents and scorpions right there, those last two, judgment and the damnation and slumbereth not. But and what he's talking about is these covetous, greedy churches. It says, in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. That's exactly what it's saying there. They'll bring you another gospel, and then they'll make merchandise of you. And he explains that they're going to be cast into their damnation slumbereth not. You know, these are the terrors.
And you can find that audience. This is a it's very common sense for to be wise the serpent and look at the situation as look at your gospel. If you're reading a copyrighted version of the Bible, and we're glad you read any Bible, but there are so many different versions out there that it's a diminishment of the word. So it's hard to convey the metaphors of our Lord Jesus Christ through various gospels. And we're told there will be a famine on the land, and that famine is for the word of God, not for food. And when you drill down on the proper rendering of Scripture, you find that the announcement of the kingdom of God is also announced through the gospel. And we find in Mark 1:14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we move along and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In audience, we preach this gospel. In broken down, the gospel is this good message of the redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ. And it's to announce to you that, you know, the time is near. As far as we could tell, Chris, pretty near?
Pretty near.
Bill?
How about, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the season is here. Yeah, that's definitely the season.
So we're declaring to you, audience, that this is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye Him. Enter into covenant with our Lord God. And prepare yourself. Brother Bill?
Yeah, because that's the only ark, you know. There aren't no other arcs of safety out there, and everybody's looking for them, but they don't exist. They're looking for the fleshly arcs. And, It's just not there. You know, is this, I believe this economy coming down is really going to set this earthquake off.
And economy then, coming down, they're fighting everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a perfect excuse to expand the war too.
Chris, on pre-show, we're going to discuss the current events in the Middle East.
Yeah, you know, I'm to the point now where, you know, I'm just making the big, we talk about the big brushstrokes as far as, you know, what's happening over there, because all the little intricacies of what is taking place, it's really hard to keep track of. But, you know, I'm it's absolutely, you know, all you got to do is look at the back of your dollar bill, and that's what's happening. You know, the Freemasonic Zionist New World Order is open for business.
Yeah, you know,
They're making their move.
Yeah, they just they're just putting it on a billboard sign now.
Yeah, I mean they've got you know, specials on the documentaries on the History Channel now. You know, my boss today just told me the whole he watched the show yesterday. It was the whole deal, everything, it's just out in the open. You know, the arrogance. You know, like,
and I think understand why that is. That we know that if we go back to Ezekiel chapter 28, where it speaks about Satan in Ezekiel chapter 28, where thou was perfect in all thy ways until iniquity was found in thy heart.
Right.
That was the first faction of evil in him, the iniquity that was found in his heart.
Wow.
And the second in there is merchandising and trafficking. So there's, you know, his two factions are evil right in that story in Ezekiel 28. And I believe what it is they get so full of pride, they're so full of their father Satan, that they're so prideful that they just have to put this out and advertise it and tell it to the world.
Right.
That they don't feel now that you know, anything that can stop them. They have no fear of the Lord, obviously. And they have to constantly mark their fence post or whatever. And yeah. Now they're just they're just saying, look at us, you know, we can do what we want, you know, we can climb back into heaven.
Yeah, look, Ma, no hands.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's very important to recognize, audience, this is a sure signature, as I've ever seen, of the six. The best man can do.
This is as far as man's going to get.
That's what happened at Sodom. The best thing. We remember when he went to burn Sodom up, and we were talking about the scriptures, the numbers. It's right in there. Before he did it, you'll read there are six things at Sodom, and then he torched the place.
Yes,
that's the best that man can do. I think it's in Genesis 19.
And there is no signature that is greater than both oceans, the Gulf of Mexico. And the Pacific Ocean now are just absolutely, we have radiation emanating from the worst nuclear disaster ever. Four or five times worse than Chernobyl is going on over there. We're being lied to about everything on it. And we also have the Gulf of Mexico, and the current events now are that all of these workers are getting deathly ill. And I remember in August when our first show came out that we were exclusively on that was the pit of hell opening up spiritual signature. Has anything changed, gentlemen, in that?
Well, I think they're trying to hide as much of it as they can, but I can only see it just continuing to getting worse. It's like the Gulf of, what are you going to put the cap back on the genie now or the cap back on the bottle?
Yeah, that's right. The genie's out of the bottle.
There's nothing you can do. I mean, you know, we pray for those people and for a miracle and that the Lord God be with them and protect them. And I know there's a lot of people over there suffering, but I don't see how you're going to put the hand, you know, it's like that thing down in the Gulf. You can't cover that thing back up now. It's still leaking from the Gulf floor. You know, there's enormous amounts of pressure down there. And, I don't see them ever putting
either of those things.
I don't see them either ever curing either of those two things. And no. I'm sure there's going to be more. But I don't see how they could ever be fixed.
Yeah, it's something that Randy's been on with his study of the Gulf and his what does he call that, Bob? The gaping wound.
The gaping
yes.
wound.
Yes.
And you know, he, they're up to something more than just drilling down there. I mean, with this fracturing they're doing in Louisiana, and, you know, I really see that, you know, I've got a study coming. It's going to be soon. You know, this what I see clearly is that, you know, the Masons are trying to counterfeit Bible prophecy. And, you know, we see scripture concerning things like, say, the mark of the beast, what we're studying tonight, you know, in the weeks, probably another couple of weeks. But, you know, we know what that is. It's a spiritual mark from God, you know, and, you know, the Masons have got everybody freaked out about the RFID chip and whatever. That's just an example of the fleshly manifestations of these Bible prophecies that are, they're error. They're pointless, but they've got everybody in fear. But I think, you know, the earthquake, you know, we know the earthquake is going to be when the truth invades the church, and mm-hmm. it's going to cause a spiritual earthquake. But, you know, they're certainly all about counterfeiting that today, and that, you know, I really believe that they were, you know, somehow involved with that thing in Japan. There were so many things that led up to it before it happened, you know, signs that they were going to pull something in Japan. And, you know, I do believe in that, that HAARP technology is very real. And mm-hmm. I do believe that they are capable of this stuff. And, you know, as far as where we're heading here now. But as far, you know, I see so clearly that it's the spiritual manifestations are what matter. That's what matters to the believer because that's what affects the soul. And as we see, you know, we're going to take a look tonight, you know, about the mark of the beast and, you know, what it really is. And the multitudes in the valley of decision. You know, people have no clue where they're at right now with the decisions that are ahead. And, you know, so we're going to try to expose, you know, in depth, whatever it takes, because this is so heavy on my heart, as, you know, prophecy is now current events, you know.
Amen.
And audience, this is a truth of this gospel. That the, let's talk, gentlemen, a little physical manifestations of prophecy. Chris?
Yeah, well, just to say, I've had this thing, I've been working on this diligently in my head for a while. And I still maintain that the Masons are about counterfeiting Bible prophecy. They're about counterfeiting Bible prophecy in the physical. And, you know, the biggest one is the shell game going on concerning the 70th week of Daniel and the fable of the Antichrist that's going to enter the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem that the Masons rebuild. You know, it's all a distraction from the fact that the man of sin, son of perdition, has already entered the temple. Because the temple of God is the church. It's the body of Christ. And, you know, the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of Antichrist, has been seated in the temple of God for a long time. And that's the big one. That's the big one. And that's something that we have to know. Christians have to know that because they have to realize they have to be, you know, they can't be a part of that. And while they're looking in the Middle East for this, and I'm telling you what, they are buzzing about it now because, oh, the Sanhedrin is just all about it. And, the red heifer is getting, you know, perfected in Texas. And, you know, and it's like, how long have you been hearing this? You know, they've got all the everything set, but it's all garbage. None of it matters. None of it has anything to do with the price of rice in China. It's
That's
all
right.
deception. That's got the entire Christian church deceived, and you know, because it takes away from the simple fact that this event's already taken place, and so, you know, and the abomination of desolation. You know, everybody's convinced it's going to be the Antichrist, you know, sacrificing a pig on the altar or whatever version of that you want to use. But the abomination is idolatry, and it's the idolatry that's standing in the holy place now
right.
in the church, because the church is not offering you know, Christians are not offering themselves as living sacrifices.
Can I ask you, a question there, Chris, since you're you were a church goer for a number of years? If you'd asked your church, is there anybody that has any demons in your church? What can you guess what kind of response they may have made? Or
varying degrees. You know, there were always a few in the church that were, all about binding and loosing and all that kind of stuff. You know,
okay.
Twisting of all that stuff, but. But that's all I would say. There was always a few people kind of aware of demonic activity. I'm not going to say, they didn't have a good heart. I had a good friend that was very aware of like satanic ritual abuse and all that. And I think he had really, had some, encounters, dealing with people that were victims of that, but. I hope I answered your question, Bill.
Yeah, you most certainly did. I kind of think the Christian community kind of thinks demons are in places like in pagan places like Africa and over there in Haiti. They talked about the Haiti having the demons and all that because of the earthquake. People came up to
little
Jesus
they realize when he they're right
passed
the
out. People knew they had demons when Jesus walked around. They actually went to Jesus to have demons cast out.
Yeah.
The church today would claim that we don't have any demons. Those guys are in Haiti. they don't come in here.
Yeah.
And we're told through the scriptures, audience, that this is the great falling away has been ongoing for 2,000 years, but we've never encountered anything like our generation. They take sin for good.
They take sin for good, right. And then let's flaunt it too.
And the flatteries of the churches are so enticing that the proper metaphor of serpents and scorpions likened unto the physical manifestations of somebody's thought process, the analogy is applied to the person that is possessed like a spirit of serpent or scorpion. And we're telling you that the churches are full of serpents and scorpions. And they lie in wait to act on you spiritually. Like a snake would act on a victim. And the proper analogy is that how does a snake kill? How does a serpent sting you? They spit poison in your eyes. They strangle you. They make you blind. And if they bite you, they paralyze you. And therein lies the snare. And that's what we're facing in our generation and trying to preach the truth, no one will hear. The numbers of people in the truth are very few. Do you agree, Bill, Chris?
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
We're compelled to think that the multitude is going to be numbered as the sand in the sea. We go back and forth all the time about that. It's a real conflict, in our group right now. I think I speak for you guys that we're trying to understand, narrow is the gate that leads to light and few find it. But we also see
there's another layer of scripture in there.
The end of the sea.
The broad road is actually the whole apostate church. That's the broad road. The narrow gate, I believe, is the remnant seed of God.
Yeah.
In generational. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But the broad road, there's layers and layers of this stuff. Like we've discussed onion, but it says a few, I believe it says about the broad road, I believe it says few that go there. If I'm just recalling off the top of my head, few that go there. Basically, that's the 144,000. Those are the ones that go there. The rest on the broad road have got to be drugged through the winepress. They're not going to go there. They got to be grabbed by the shirt. And, that's, 1 Corinthians 5:5.
hooked in the jaw applies.
Yeah, right. The broad road, I see a layer of that in Scripture as being, that's where the apostate church is. It's the broad road. And there's multitudes in there. There's serpents and there's scorpions in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that. I see that too.
And generationally, we know that for the past 2,000 years, post-cross at the finished works of our Lord Jesus Christ, that many, many great, great multitudes have been saved by this gospel. We're told of historically, even though they try to hide the historic facts and bring it up to preeminence of men, the six, we find that the martyrs of our Lord Jesus Christ are great and many.
Absolutely.
And generationally, you know, many have entered in the straight gate. And it's the will of the Father that all this happens, but in our hearts we're hoping anybody listens.
Amen. That's what we're striving for, is to get listeners and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ and let the Holy Spirit do the rest.
Study this gospel, audience. Read the Scriptures. Don't listen to the apostate teachers. Learn from the Holy Spirit. Pray to our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be a holy vessel. Be ye holy. And repent of your sins is basically to change your mind about things. And it's likened unto the prostitute. You know, sin no more and go. And that's it. Be ye lively stones. Brother Bill?
Yeah, what you're, that's right, be ye lively stones, dragged through the winepress, the narrow gate, the few that go there, you know, the remnant seed of God, and the broad road actually tells us the broad road in Luke chapter 17. Bob and I had discussed this chapter the other day on the Escape Show, and I'd like to just hit two verses in this chapter real quick. If we look at verse 28, it says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they did drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. There's your number six, right, man? That's it right there, number six. There's six things in there. That's man number six. And what comes after it, he torches the place. And you'll see the two parts cut off in the next verse. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, that's your part saved, then it rained brimstone and fire and brimstone from heaven, that, you know, and destroyed them all. There's your two parts cut off. And Lot went out of Sodom. He was the multitude that was saved. And he was living right in number six, right there in verse 28. They did eat, they bought, they sold, they drank, they planted, they builded. That's what man gets to number six, and it's guaranteed tribulation comes.
And it's confirmation of Scriptures.
And I'll say we're in six.
Very, very far into the end of six, I would say.
You're going to try to jump to the eight.
But we have an answer for you, audience, in terms of it's all in this gospel. In our continued study of Revelation 13, we're going to segue into that. And Brother Chris, you want to let the audience know a little bit of the past shows and bring us up to a synopsis of where we are now?
Yeah, I sure. I'd be happy to, Bob. I just, you know, the Lord just laid this on my heart, and then, you know, Bob and Bill certainly agreed. Just at the way that this portion of Scripture, actually Revelation 13 and then 17, is just absolutely timely. As we said, you know, this prophecy is not prophecy anymore. It's current events. And, you know, I'm not quite sure how to present that concept, but it's true. And, I'm sure the Lord will, I'm sure there's, you know, that the Lord addresses it in Scripture. I haven't really quite found anything per se that does address that idea. But regardless, here we are. And with this stuff that is taking place right now, and, you know, obviously everybody that's been following our show, you know, we are all about the spiritual implications to everything. because, you know, we've got all the physical ideas, you know, the actual events and then what people are believing are happening and stuff like that. But we see, you know, these physical manifestations of Bible prophecy, if you will. Are they counterfeits of the real thing? Are they part of God's plan? I wrestle with that one. But I do know that there is, you know, God's vessels of wrath are definitely about, you know, counterfeiting prophecy to confuse the elect if it were possible, you know, because the deception is so great. But it doesn't have to be confusing because it's all there in Scripture for us. And when you approach Scripture with a like we talked about last week, you know, burnt offerings the Lord doesn't want. He wants a contrite heart, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. You know, that's the sacrifice that's acceptable to God. And when we come to the Lord like that, with a empty vessel, you know, it's all about emptying ourselves of ourselves. You know, having the Lord, you know, take all our flesh and, you know, replacing it with His Spirit, because we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, not in flesh and lies. You know, like we say, I mean, it's essentially what the apostate church does, is that it worships the Lord in flesh and in lies. But we're, you know, we're called to the truth. And, you know, what a refreshing, the truth does make you free. You'll know the truth. You will know the truth. God reveals the truth to you when you come to Him that way. And it will make you free, because it makes you free. You're not bound to the things of this world anymore that are so temporal and fleeting. Everything you put your hope for in this world won't last. It'll let you down. And, you know, my heart just breaks for my loved ones that are just still hoping for, oh, who knows, you know, Sarah Palin or, you know, whoever's going to come along and, you know, make things better and we're going to take America back for God. You know, I got to share about that. It was since last week, you know, I went to a rally. I felt the Lord call me to go to this rally last week for wall builders. You know, it's a whole deal where Barton, his son, Timothy, was, you know, rallying one of the big churches, the big church I came out of. They had a big rally calling people back to, you know, our godly roots. And it was all nonsense, you know. And I just, I actually spoke Revelation 13 to him. I went up to him at the end, and I heard the Lord tell me to just testify to him. And I basically, you know, I called him a false prophet. I said, you're causing these earth dwellers here to worship the beast. And he laughed at me, you know. But I just felt I was obedient to the Lord. I'm not sure what's going to come out of it, but it was very disturbing because this guy's
well, the word never comes back void.
Yeah. But anyway, that's, you know, because I just see this stuff is happening in real time. And, you know, I got a sister, Natalie, on the internet on Facebook sent me a link tonight about Sarah Palin and some group of women are wearing Jewish jewelry. And it just had this picture of Sarah all there, you know, as proud as can be with this, you know, satanic hexagram hanging around her neck. And, yeah, I just, you know, I thanked her for sending it to me. It gave me chills because they're just so blatantly out there, you know, flaunting this stuff. And I just wrote, you know, Revelation, you know, that they, you know, that, you know, she's causing them that dwell on the earth to wander after the beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, here it is in real time. It's happening right now. You know, because these people don't realize what they're doing. But, you know, we're going to just, you know, take another, get as far as we can tonight in 13. And keep going here, folks, and we're going to just really encourage you to stick with us on this study, because this is the material that we need. We need ourselves, and we need to be able to convey this to our loved ones that the Lord puts in our path, because this is all about the decision that faces the multitude. The multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is at hand in the valley of decision. And the decision is to go along with the beast or come out. And you know it's a conscious decision that's there, and few people realize you know the perilous times that we are in, And I, as we said before, the reason they don't realize is because
they've got a covenant with death and hell. That's why.
They made a covenant with death and hell, a fictitious covenant that they believe that they have with death and hell.
Actually, Hosea chapter 10, verse 4 talks about this covenant. It says, they have spoken words swearing falsely. Swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springs up like hemlock in the furrows of the field. So they're really not walking in covenant with God. They've made a false covenant with God, and they went off in reality made a covenant with the beast. But he says they've spoken words swearing falsely and making a covenant. And, you know, that's what you were talking about with, you know, you're trying to tell that church elder over there in that event that you went to.
Yeah.
They're just living in a false covenant, a covenant with lies. You know, that's why there's no power in the spirit in any of these movements. There's no power of God in them. It's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. From such to turn away.
And he definitely showed you the pride of man. He doesn't care what you think. He doesn't care he was confronted with the truth.
Right.
What did he say to you?
My heart was split wide open looking at the sea of faces in this sanctuary, you know, at this church. It was the church I was married in. I mean, it's the big mega church in the area here. And he had all these people. They were all tied in with the school. And
well, I'm going to tell you something. They won't be laughing a year from now.
No, they won't be.
And I don't say that fictitiously. I'm not saying that fictitiously, but with vengeance. But and I don't intend it to sound like it's within vengeance. But they won't be laughing a year from now.
No, they won't be laughing. They won't be laughing because I'm telling you, they, absolutely, Bill. And you know, we're not date setters, but this is the 18th. Tomorrow's the 19th. That's a year ago that they lit off the Gulf. That's when that event started, and you know it's a high satanic holy day. It's a blood sacrifice. So let me tell you what, folks. I don't know what something's coming.
Well, I'll tell you why it's the blood sacrifice. If you would like to know, it's centered. That day comes up, I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but it comes on the Passover, and you know, and that's where Jesus was killed, was on the Passover. The Jews today, there isn't the Torah Jews out there, the Christian religion. None of these people. Just like the 70 weeks of Daniel, they don't know that Jesus was killed on the Sabbath day, on the first day of unleavened bread. And I think that's what they're trying to duplicate.
Yeah.
And they're trying to fulfill Scripture. They're using Scripture to manifest their pride.
To manifest their pride, right.
And
you want to know what the big one is. You want to know what there's two that I really see that really matter. You know, you can believe all you want about an RFID chip, but the mark of the beast, you're going to get it or not. I mean, the Lord's going to give it to you or not. You know, you're going to be marked by God or have the mark of the beast, you know, and you know, God knows your heart. But the other thing is the tribulation itself, because this is what's ahead. You know, actually what I see is that World War III is going to be the contrived tribulation. And Christians are going to believe that that's the tribulation when it's not. It's a counterfeit. It's the angel of the whirlwind that Bush, you know, Bush Jr. was flaunting, you know, in one of his speeches. I mean, they know full well what they're up to. But the real tribulation is going to come during the peace after the war. That's when the real deal is going to happen, because the Christians are going to think they won, because, you know, what they're doing is they're fomenting this war against the Muslim world. The Christians against the Muslims, and scripture is scripture, and you know, it's all going to end up that it's going to be a brutal deal, but it'll all be you know, and end up being where Israel wins. Who, by the way, we wonder about that. I mean, is the entire thing a counterfeit? Because there's another one. You know, the physical land of Israel is a counterfeit of the spiritual land, which is the body of Christ. Israel is God's people. The remnant of Israel are God's remnant elect. You know, it's all spiritual, but you know, we've got everybody focused on these fleshly manifestations. Hey, I know that, you know, there's a purpose to that land over there, but it is certainly not what you know is taught in the mainstream church. Do I understand it completely? No. The Lord's blood was spilled there. The Lord is going to do something there, but it is not what we think. But as the world looks, and you know, what's going to happen is the little horn is going to survive, and it's going to be victorious. And this new world religion, the one world Antichrist religion, that's melding all the religions together, which we see clearly happening, especially as this event last week with Glenn Beck and Hagee. I mean, those are two major ideological camps in Christendom that have united. And, you know, they're just gathering everybody. And it's ultimately going to end up, you know, with a major influence from the Vatican. You know, and I'm not going to go too deep in all that right now. It doesn't matter. Because it's all about you finding your place in this. And your place is to be out of her. Don't be a part of this. Flee to the wilderness, flee to the truth. The wilderness is a metaphor for the truth. We stand in the truth. We have our loins girded with truth. The first piece of armor in Ephesians, gird your loins with truth. So this is what we're called to do. And, you know, with this, you know, we're just going to run through Revelation 13. You know, we were trying to figure out how far we got last week. We touched on it. Well, the week before we really started this study, last week we kind of got off topic, which was fine. The Lord, you know, we just go where the Lord leads. But, you know, we saw in the first couple of verses, you know, the identity of the beast that came out of the sea, rises up out of the sea with the seven heads and the ten horns. And, you know, we saw the leopard, the bear, and the lion. And, you know, we've taught, you know, a lot about this. And we see clearly that the leopard, the bear, and the lion are the three unclean spirits that are at work in this pale horse New World Order, in that the leopard is, you know, significant of the fascist Nazi empire. The bear is the communist, you know, Bolshevik, Russian empire that rose to power. You know, and just in the last 100 years, folks, this is happening. And the lion, you know, is the British mercantilism that we see these forces with many aspects, you know, as far as politically, religiously, you know, week after week we've gone into it. But we see this thing all manifesting now as this one final diverse fourth beast rising to power. That's, you know, what we're seeing in the first couple of verses here. And, you know, the mortal wound was healed. And we see that that mortal wound was the, you know, many manifestations of that. America is about to suffer its mortal wound. And it's when that mortal wound is healed is when the real, because America is the remanifestation of the Roman Empire and Babylon, if you will. I mean, it's the whole thing melded together. And as it rises back to power, that's when the real deception is going to be. And the true remnant church will not be in the forefront. It's going to be underground. There's going to be a major price on being a Christian. You know, what takes place through this time with the war? You know, will there be a roundup? You know, the CIA, you know, do they know everybody on Facebook and what they believe? Hey, probably. You know, how's that going to look? It happened before. You know, I still think that, you know, we see a miniature model, and I say miniature, and what we saw take place in Bolshevik Russia and in Nazi Germany. We know so much about the Jewish supremacist propaganda concerning the Holocaust and what took place then. But, you know, all this stuff has already happened, and it's about to happen again, folks. And it's going to be bigger. It's going to be way bigger. We can't even imagine it. But, you know, how it all plays out, what matters is the spiritual, where you are positioned spiritually. And that's what we're calling you to do. Because if you're positioned spiritually, you're going to be able to weather the storm. You know, it's enter into thy chambers. It says, come my people. So this is a call to my people. God's calling his people. Enter into thy chamber and shut thy door about thee. You know, stay there for a little while the indignation passes. You know, what's this going to look like? It's all stuff that, hey, I don't know. We don't know, but we know enough to know what to watch for. And this is what we're trying to equip you to do. And, you know, that brings us up into the, you know, the verse 4, 5. You know, I really compel everybody to go back and listen to the study from 2 weeks ago so you can pick up. You got to get this stuff down. And, you know, it's all about the earth dwellers, them that dwell on the earth. You know, this is where you don't want to be. You want to be redeemed from the earth. And, you know, this brings us up to verse 8. And, you know, with that, Bob, I'm probably, you know, would appreciate maybe if you pick up at verse 9 and, you know, maybe 9, 10, and 11, and Bill and I will pick it up from there.
Well, I'd just like to say, audience, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And this doom-tarred fleshly stuff that's going on, no one has an idea of what is going to occur. And we need to preach the gospel to you so that you have an understanding of what you're to do to make covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. And fear the Lord. These economic things, these rumors of war are not to shake you. The Lord's fear will bring you to the truth, and the Holy Spirit will reveal this gospel to you.
Amen.
Now we're going to pick up at verse 8, Chris, or 9. Chris?
Sorry, excuse me, I snuck out and let the dog in. I missed that, Bob.
Where did you want me to pick up?
I'll pick up on verse 9.
Actually, I'd like to make a comment before you pick
up. Yes, go ahead, Brother Bill.
Chris was addressing those kingdoms, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, and the diverse fourth beast. Obviously, America was Rome, number 6. But all three of those, I think we mentioned the other show, that they're all Christian, all three of those.
They have to be.
They're Roman Catholic.
They have to be.
Right, they have to be. They're Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Catholic, and Protestant. All three of those beasts. And they're joined into the fourth beast as the pale horse on a religious, you know, there's other aspects of the pale horse, obviously, but on the religious aspect here, that all three of those are going to be joined together. And
it's remarkable.
Yeah. And
yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, Bill, because that's huge.
Well, it's all pertinent to this scripture, audience. We're told who the beast is. We're told the system and kingdoms that are upon the face of the earth, on the inhabitants of the earth, and at no other time in history has it been a earthly event. We take up our 1947 studies on the pale horse, and this movement now has encompassed where all the inhabitants of the earth are under these this beast system. And you can take the leopard and apply the analogies of Germany and Nazi Germany and all the dark art sciences that came out of that kingdom.
Pharmakia,
which has killed more people.
General Electric,
aspirin.
Actually, General Electric built those plants over there, part of them, didn't they? In Japan.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Corporations are a corporation. They're white sepulchers, the same as the churches.
Yeah.
The transition from churches to corporations, they're soulless. They don't care about people. God has pity on his people. The Lord understands what's going on in your heart, audience. He knows your heart where no man can know your heart. And in 2 Peter 3:9, we're told the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's this gospel, audience. That's the fear of the Lord and entering into covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what Brother Chris is describing on one level is happening everywhere. And if you were sitting in Tokyo, Japan right now, you would find that you would be absolutely full of fear and trembling at what's going on because you're not being told the truth.
That's right.
You have 5 nuclear reactors that are blowing up plutonium into the atmosphere, less than hundreds of miles away from you, and you can't see it. That's right. And you don't know how it's affecting you. So you can't tell me the people of Japan aren't having some sort of tribulation.
Oh, they sure are.
And we're told individually, you will have tribulation. And in one level, you're saying, well, you know, I'm following the gospel and I understand this, but nobody's listening and nobody understands me. Well, audience, that's a good thing. That's a good thing if people don't understand you. Because it's the will of the Lord that they do. And when we say that the word does not come out void, anything you say is a light into a dark world. Because you are the holy vessel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are the light of the Lord. And you are armed in the Spirit to understand this by the Holy Spirit. To understand this gospel, preparing yourself to do the will of the Lord in this time, in this generation.
Amen.
Picking up at verse 8. Is that correct, Chris?
Why don't you go right to verse 9.
Verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Brother Bill, comment?
That's right there. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints, right? In your patience possesses your soul, he says. So those that must die by the or must be killed by the sword, those that kill with the sword, and you know their judgment is going to be coming, and the tribulation is where your patience is, and endureth to the end, as he says. You know, the overcomers that endureth to the end, and that's what he's speaking of right there.
And
and we see that, you know, this is abortion right here. I mean, well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's no way the Lord's going to.
Well, of course, it is, right.
We are in God's long suffering right now. That verse that Bob just wrote, just read, that he, you know, he's long suffering, wishing that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. I mean, this is our Lord. I mean, that verse was up about the character of God. That's our God. Bob was describing there.
That's true.
But he has got to, you know, be faithful to his law, and you know, we see over and over the patterns of Scripture with these amazing observations that the Lord has given Bill with the numbers, but you know the time of testing is 40 years, and Roe versus Wade was January of 73. So
that's true.
You know, it's not looking good, and you know there's what 51 million babies in the United States. It's like I don't know. I heard a number like 500 million worldwide babies.
Yeah, it's unbelievable,
you know,
isn't it?
That have been killed by the sword, you know, and you know, it's you know, you don't even have words. There's no words to it. But the big thing is, you know, this simple verse in 9. That's why I wanted Bob to start there. You know, I didn't want to take away from the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, maybe in verse 8 we probably should have touched upon that a little bit. The Lamb's Book of Life, because this is where you want to be, folks. You want to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it also refers to the fact that you can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. So what does that mean? Well, that's between you and the Lord. You know, you find out yourself. Figure that out yourself. Press into the Lord. Have him tell you. You know, have the Lord tell you if you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, decide today who you will serve. You know, today is the hour of salvation, you know, is at hand. And it's like, this is nothing to procrastinate on, you know. So all these discussions about how all this happens and when the multitude makes their decision. Well, if you're hearing this truth now, well, the time is to make the decision is now, and then don't worry about it, you know. But, you know, the thing is, in verse 9, these simple words, if any man have an ear, let him hear. You know, we were talking about this in the pre-show. I think that verse is way bigger than we realize. What do you think, Bill?
Well, it's right in the middle of the two beasts.
Right in the middle of the two beasts.
Right.
I think the Lord wants us to get this.
you know, you were talking about, you know, it's your salvation there too. And it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yes.
And, you know,
it's, right. Not work out somebody else's, yours. It's mano a mano, like Bob says. You and the Lord, you're going to stand before the Lord all by yourself. You're not going to be holding hands singing kumbaya with your harlot church. That's
right.
Affirming your apostasy.
Affirming
this is the
your apostasy.
Power
right.
In this harlot system that I'm around. I mean, I've got dear loved ones in this thing. And it's you know, it's like, you know, if everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you jump off too? Like your mom used to say, you know, this is what's going on in the church. You know, it's the sin that they tolerate. They don't purge the sin out anymore. The leaven is leaven the whole lump, and it's tolerated. That's the problem. It's tolerated by the hive. The hive mentality in the church allows
right.
the thing to perpetuate.
Right, because you don't want to upset anything or upset anybody, surely.
No, heavens no.
You know, you were talking about, we're here, number six here, right here, you were talking about, and then they're trying to push this to number eight. But they, you know, they can't push this to number eight, this pale horse or whatever, until there's a seven. There has to be a seven to push it to eight.
That's right.
And that's got to be the martyrs of Jesus. I can't see anything else.
Yeah, that's the true church that rises up in here.
Yep.
What's that going to look like? Very good question. It's like deep down inside, I know what it's going to look like. I'm still not able to put it into words. I'm really not. But I do know that, you know, I read that thing earlier tonight. I found that blog. And I'm not going to pull it up because it'll mess up my computer. But it said it's the inner peace that we'll have during the coming war is one thing. But it's going to be the fake peace that comes after the war is the time that we need to really beware, because that's when the deception is going to really. And this is what we have to prepare for. There is nothing, absolutely nothing more important than any Christian in any Christian's life than to be aware, study, and understand this stuff. And that's why we're studying Revelation 13 and 17, because this is what it's talking about. It's all happening right now.
And it all points to our Lord Jesus Christ, audience. No, let no man deceive you. Okay, because even the very elect could be deceived. And you can you cannot put a man on a pedestal. Your understandings have to be a confirmation of the Holy Spirit. And it's a one day gig. And we're told, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And you have to understand the patience means it's cheerful, it's an endurance, it's enduring patient, it's continuous, and that patience is waiting. And what are you waiting for? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brother Bill?
Amen. Yeah, it's... Patience is a fabulous study in the Bible. It's, we're all going to learn this, I think, as time goes by more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll continue on with 11 and 12. Chris?
Yeah, that'd be great, Bob.
And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
Wow.
Well,
I mean,
verse 11
right here.
Verse 11, there's three parts of that cut off, so you know that that's the apostate church. It's, all three parts are cut off. Beast coming up out of the earth is cut off. It looked like a lamb with two horns is cut off, and he spake like a dragon. So there ain't no good part of that anywhere. There's nothing. That's why it says to get out of there. It says,
that's the unholy Trinity right there.
Yeah,
the
that's
dragon.
The holy, right, the that's the unholy
prophet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, you know, our sister, you know, tonight, Natalie, sent that picture of Palin with that star of Rembrandt hanging around her neck,
right,
with this smile from ear to ear. You know, I heard her the other day. I just grabbed
I can't hardly tolerate it. It's like listening to Obama or Bush. It just makes me throw up. But
nothing.
I'm telling you, she's got this MK Ultra mind control look in her eyes. I would not put it past. I mean, this woman is all over Henry Kissinger. Those two have something going on.
Yeah, and this was she started that creepy. A couple years ago even.
Yeah. But she's got this big star hanging around her neck. Let me tell you what, folks. Prophecy is no longer prophecy. This is current events. That is Revelation chapter 13, verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast, meaning Sarah Palin is a representative of the false prophet. He is talking about the false prophet, the collective false church, and exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And that star hanging around her neck was an absolute representation of the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed.
Absolutely.
The deadly wound was healed.
And how did they get the church in that direction? It tells you right in verse 11, he had two horns and looked like a lamb. Through the dialectic, constant dialectic, over and over and over. They keep moving to a synthesis, and now they've got you back to the first beast. You've been lied to for so long that you're going back to the beast of pride now.
I see the two horns. I just see two electric, like lightning bolts coming out of the two horns.
Electricity. Laboratory.
It's short circuiting, and it's between the two horns is where all the action is.
That's where all the action is, right?
That's what we're seeing right now. And we got Glenn Beck and John Hagee. Dialectic. Point, counterpoint.
Point, counterpoint.
Antithesis. What?
Point, counterpoint. Yeah, that's a perfect. Gosh, it's been a long time since I remembered that one.
Oh, that was Saturday Night Live. Yeah, Jane, you fill in the blanks. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Point, counterpoint.
That's what it was, yeah.
Well, I think five and five is 12. What do you think five and five? Oh, I think it's seven. Well, let's talk about it.
But, I mean, this is what we've been ingrained, that this is how we deal with things, is that we talk about it. We got to watch it. You know, we can't, like, say it's all bad. There's nothing wrong with a nice, healthy discussion.
No, absolutely not.
But when it comes down to truth,
and
we have to go to Scripture. Study to show ourselves approved and present the truth the Lord reveals to us. We can't dialogue about truth.
And the analogy of a lamb, audience, is... And this lamb is the false prophet leading. We hit always on a national level because that's the stories that are relayed to us. But this is happening at your corner church. There's a Sarah Palin in your corner church that's saying, "Hey, everybody, I know the truth. Come and listen to this guy speak, and this guy's going to tell you how it is."
Right,
or listen to this.
Like Jesus.
Yes, listen to this DVD. Listen to this. Read this book. Now, what it says is he spake, and what is it? If you look at this word through the Strong's, you are going to find that he speak means he preaches, he says, he speaks, he talks, he utters. Now, he's uttering a false gospel and leading people to their death.
Yep.
There's no other proper rendering. And there's no one to refute this false prophet. Because there's so few people in the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ that are in salvation. And you have to be aware of this, audience. On a global level, this is happening, but it's happening at your corner church. And if you're in a town like I am, there's 50 churches. And they're all bad. But it is the Lord's will that the people that he knows, their hearts are good, he will come and save them. It is the Lord's will that these people will turn to him.
Amen. Yeah, he looks like a lamb. That's Jesus there. You know, it's in Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse. He said, many will come in my name. That's it right there. You know, saying, I am the Christ. And they're saying they're the Savior. They're the anointed one. They're the church is, these lying false prophets in the church and the corporate structure is your, mediator to God. So they're saying that they're the anointed one, really, just exactly as Jesus said, saying, I am the Christ. And it looks like a lamb to them, you know, it looks like Jesus. That's why it says it looked, you know, it had two horns just like a lamb.
The church I got kicked out of, you know, in town here, they had their big event last weekend, the annual Easter egg hunt. And I heard it was a blazing success, like 5,000 people or something like that. Wow. And I was talking, one of my friends is the son, I mean, the brother of the pastor. And, we had a conversation the other day and he's, you know, kind of bragging about it. And I said, so what? Now they got 5,000 people. What are they going to do now?
Right. They're involved in pagan ritual.
The community center. They're going to bring them into the community center. And, you know, what message are they going to give them? You know, because it's just not there. There's no life transforming gospel message in these churches anymore.
No.
But what does that tell you? People are looking. Because why would 5,000 people go to a church, you know, now? Because they're, you know, I'm telling you, people are going to be desperate. And I'm afraid to say that they are going to be swarming to these churches for answers. And it just breaks my heart, you know, breaks my heart. Because they're not going to get the answers. They're going to get more garbage, more world that they don't need. They don't need the world. They have the world. You know, they need Jesus Christ in these churches. And I'm afraid he's not there.
No.
But, you know, it's all the Lord's... you know, the Lord's purpose and his perfect plan is being carried out, and we can't get too overwhelmed because he is, you know, he is on the throne and everything's happening for his purpose. And he does, you know, wish that none should perish. So, you know, we just have to turn it over to him, our frustrations and our feelings of helplessness at times, because I'll admit I feel overwhelmed sometimes. You know, when we're up against this mechanical brainwashing that's taking place through these churches, coupled with the TV and, you know, I drive past the pastor's house, you know, a couple of days during the week to pick up my little guy after school. And, you know, I drive past the house and I just look and there's the big satellite dish up on the roof, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to judge, but it's like, oh my gosh, you know, what in the heck do you need with television? You know, what is that going to do for you to lead a flock of people, you know, seeking the Lord? Because, I mean, these multitude are seeking. They just don't know what they're seeking. And they're just not getting the truth coming from the pulpits. But, you know, I really believe that we're right here and this is all going to change. And we do, like Scott Sapanik, I feel his passion for, you know, having what was the word that he used? I can't think of the word that he used to make the message, you know, so that they can understand it. Because, you know, we have to watch. You know, we've got all this revelation. The Lord's given us so much stuff that I can hardly contain it. But I have to always keep going back to square one, and I do this in my own walk, you know. What is it you want me to say, Lord? You know, what is our message? And, you know, I just, you know, end up getting down to the pure gospel and, you know, study the way that Jesus taught with the parables. And you know, this is where my heart is. And then all this has all got to happen with power, because you can't do it with convincing words. It's got to come from power, from God. And the only way you're going to get the power is to be empty. You have to be empty of yourself. You have to empty out yourself, give the Lord an empty vessel. And then you have to be stand in the truth, in the sound doctrine, because the truth and the sound the truth of the sound doctrine is where the power is, and we're ministers of that power, and you know we're here to you know and compel you listeners to do the same, you know, get out there with this message to the people in your lives to call them to the truth, because God will do it then, you know, you just gotta, you know, put out that word, that precious word of God, like Jesus did, after a time of emptiness and, you know, coming out of your quiet place, you know, seeking the Lord, getting understanding from Him, revelation from Him. That's when the power comes. And, you know, we're here, and, you know, it's available to all of us. And, you know, with that, I just want to say thanks again for everybody, you know, the listeners, Scott Sapanik tonight, such an encouragement. Encouraging us in that area that, you know, the listeners, you know, the people that we do have supporting us. And I just want to thank everybody. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Bob.
Brother Bill.
Yeah, I just want to encourage people to get in the ark and get a good, comfortable seat in there for this ride, because it's going to be a rough one.
The Ark of the Covenant. You got to be in covenant.
You got to be in covenant with the Lord Jesus. That's where the power comes from. You know, the power is in the doctrine too, right? And but right, the covenant is where the power comes from. And
the safety. It's the Ark of the Covenant. The covenant right. is the ark.
That's right. And
that's another twist of scripture, right, Bill? The you know, one of these days they're going to find the Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's probably in that warehouse in the Raiders of the Lost Ark or something. And you know, it's just we've got to be aware of this stuff, folks. It'll probably be aliens. Will probably find
right. It's one more identity that they've messed up, haven't they?
Another thing. It's another one. It's, I'll have to write that down.
The list gets longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank all the listeners. And we're so blessed to be able to get this message out, and we're blessed to have an ear that will hear it. It's like that verse says, if any man have an ear, let him hear.
Amen.
Audience, I don't foresee it. I'm not a minister of any power. I point you as best as I'm fleshly capable to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the proper rendering of scriptures, to have understanding of your generation now. And if you want to understand tribulation, we go to the book of Job, and in this last part will give you an identifying proper rendering of scripture.
Can I interject something before you start there, Bob?
Yes, Bill.
When I was referring to power, I mean, I'm not talking about signs and wonders. It's just the power that you're going to need to endure in these days and get through this.
We preach the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That is all the power.
Right. Right. I wanted to clarify that.
In Job 24:14, the murderer rising with the light killeth the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. And continuing on to confirmation scriptures of the thief in the night, audience. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when you look at this on a spiritual level, audience, you're seeing the light. And this is all done in the dark, except you know this is coming. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. This is the most important thing to know, audience, in this generation. We are told that when it's all said and done, that no one will believe it. That means even if you were told ahead of time, you could not understand everything that is going on. But standing in the holy place and being a holy vessel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will know what His will is for you. You will know what His will is to do every day. And that's to do the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Garrity for Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. Good night.
Looks okay, the world survives into another day.